Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
It's February 16th. We're at the end of Parsha Shlach on page 816. Pasuk Lamed Zayin, verse 37. These are rather well-known psukim. Vayomer Hashem Moshe Lemar, Hashem said to Moshe, saying, Daberel b'nei Yisov amarta lehem, speak to the Jews and say to them, V'asu lehem tzitzis al kanfevi lehem darosam, and make for themselves tzitzis on the corners of their garments for their generations. V'nasnu al tzitzis hakanaf p'sil techeles, and they'll put on the tzitzis on the corner a string of techeles. They translate that as
turquoise blue.
Yeah, I didn't mean that line. I'm sorry. Upon the tzitzis of each corner, al tzitzis hakanaf, on the tzitzis of each corner, they'll put a thread of, as you said, turquoise wool. Right. Vayalachem letzitzis, it will be for you as tzitzis. Urisem oso, and you will see it. Uzachartem as kol mitzvos Hashem, you remember all the mitzvos of Hashem. Vasisem osam, you will perform them. And you will not stray after your eyes. They say not explore after your heart and after your eyes. That you tend to stray after them. In order that you remember and perform all of my mitzvos, and you will be sanctified to your God. I am Hashem, your God, who took you out of Egypt. To be for you as a God. I am Hashem, your God. The mitzvah tzitzis comes on the heels of an episode, as we had, of a violation of Shabbos, which in turn comes on the heels of a commandment about avodah zarah, of idolatry. The Gemara tells us that one who, as we mentioned before, one who transgresses idolatry, one who worships idols, it is as if they transgress the entire Torah. Because if a person doesn't believe in Hashem, it doesn't matter what they do, it's not for Hashem. So it's going to be avodah zarah. I mean, it's rejecting the whole Torah. And then one who keeps Shabbos, it is as if they are keeping the entire Torah. And similarly, the mitzvah of tzitzis is also compared to the entire Torah, as it is said, and it says towards the end, that you'll remember and do all the mitzvahs. So there is a connection between tzitzis and all of the mitzvahs of the Torah. The word tzitzis, what is that word? It says it three times in this paragraph. We call them tzitzis. So what are they? What does that word mean? What's the translation of the word tzitzis? So we have the word tzitz. Where else do we have the word tzitz?
The Kohen
Gadol. So the headband of the Kohen Gadol is called a tzitz. Mm-hmm. There is a verb, latzutz, which means to peer or to look. It's one of the verbs that means to see or to look is called latzutz. And therefore, tzitzis is something which you notice, which you see. That's one of the reasons why it is called tzitzis. There's a pasuk in Shir Shirim, "Mitzitz min acharakim," to peer through the cracks. So that's one of the reasons why it's called, the mitzvah is called tzitzis, because they're noticeable. You look at them. They're meant to be noticed. That's what they're for. They're meant to be seen and noticed. Another reason why they are called tzitzis is because a string is called a tzitz. It's another word for a string is a tzitz. So because they are strings, they're referred to as tzitzis. Because of the fact that they are meant to be noticed, well, before I get to that point, before I even mention that point, there is the mitzvah of tzitzis, which is to have these strings. And there's also a mention of techeles, of having a dyed wool, which appears to be a blue color. We're not 100% sure what the color of techeles is, but we presume it's a blue color. And the reason why we presume it's a blue color is because the Gemara says, that when one sees the Techelis, it's supposed to remind them of the Kisei HaKavod, of Hashem's divine throne. How does the Techelis remind someone of the Hashem's divine throne? Because the Techelis is similar to the color of the ocean, which is similar to the color of the sky, which then we know that we learned earlier in Parshas Mishpatim, actually this coming week's Parsha, that it says that under Hashem's Kisei HaKavod, under His throne, is Kamasei Livnas HaSapir, is like the similar to a sapphire, a blue sapphire. So the Techeles, by extension, reminds us of the Kisei HaKavod, of Hashem's throne. Now, it is not a bright blue, because then you wouldn't need all of those other steps. You wouldn't need to go from the Techeles to the ocean, to the sky, to the sapphire, and then to Hashem's throne. Additionally, there is a Gemara that says before, that adds another step, that Techeles is similar to grass, which is similar to the ocean, which is similar to the sky, which is similar to the sapphire, etc. So, as I say, it is not clear exactly what the color is, as much as everybody assumes it's blue, and it probably is a bluish color, but exactly what that color is, we're not 100% sure. As you know, you can't really describe a color unless you compare it to something else. You can't really, a blind person doesn't know what color is. It's very difficult to describe color unless you're making comparisons. So we don't know exactly the color of the Techeles. At any rate, though, it is, since this is meant to have Techeles, there's a difference of opinion in the Gemara how many strings are supposed to be Techeles. It seems that the prevalent opinion is that one of the strings, you realize that tzitzis, although it is 8 strings, it's really 4 strings doubled over. We have 8 strings in our tzitzis, but it's really 4 strings that are looped through the garment, and they come out on both sides. You have 4 on either side, you have 8. And then all the ties are made, etc. So you end up with 8 strings, 8 fringes, I guess you call it, but really it's 4 strings. So the prevalent opinion seems to be that one of those strings, which is really one which becomes 2 when you loop it through, should be Techeles, and the other 3 should be white. The as was just mentioned, the Techeles is meant to be noticed. One is supposed to notice it and remember Hashem's Kisei HaKavod, His throne. And the white is also supposed to be noticed. As it says, you'll remember, you'll see it. The Pasuk says, Urisemo, so you'll see it. So it's meant to be noticed. This is why there is a prevalent custom to wear the tzitzis, so that they are hanging on the side of one's garment, that they're visible. It is not a requirement to do so. One is allowed to wear their tzitzis under their garments. After all, really, the garments they used to wear were four-cornered garments. That was what they wore. Their outer garments were four-cornered garments. Some of their inner garments were four-cornered garments. So their tzitzis were naturally visible because it was an outer garment. When we wear tzitzis today, so when we wear a talis and shul, that's an outer garment, clearly the tzitzis are visible. But the tzitzis that we wear under our clothing, and the reason we do so is so that we will be obligated in the mitzvah, so we should have the mitzvah, even though our clothing are not four-cornered garments, so there's no requirement to put tzitzis in our garments. So we wear a four-cornered garment in order to obligate ourselves, but those four-corner garments that we wear go generally, some people wear them over their clothing, most people wear them under their clothing, under their shirts. So, just like that garment goes under the shirt, so the tzitzis goes under the shirt too, or under, you know, inside. It's not a requirement to wear them out. The reason why people do wear them out is because the point of it is to be noticed. That's the whole point, to notice the tzitzis in order to remind us of the mitzvos of Hashem, and as it says, not to stray after our eyes and after our hearts. Now we'll get into more details of the mitzvah in a moment, but first let's discuss the commandment here in this parsha, right here where we have we just had the meraglim, the spies, and then we have the incident of the one who was mechalel Shabbos, the one who desecrated the Shabbos, then we have the commandment of tzitzis. The everybody makes mention of the fact that in Pasuk Lamed Tes in verse 39, it says that you'll have the tzitzis, you'll see them, you'll remember all the mitzvahs of Hashem and perform them. Veloz sasuru acharei levavchem acharei nechem. You will not, as it says over here, explore after your heart and after your eyes. So the verb is sasuru, lasur. Lasur is one of the verbs that means to spy. In fact, if you hold the place right here and turn back just a few pages in Parashat Shlach, when the spies return from their mission to Eretz Yisrael, if you look on page 800, Pasuk Chaf Hei, verse 25, the pasuk says, "Vayashuvu mitur haaretz." They return from. They should say exploring if they're going to be consistent. They return from. They say spying out. It should really say exploring because it's going to be the same verb. So they return from exploring the land. It's the same word, mitur lasur. It's the same word. So that is not a coincidence that the tzitzis are meant to protect us from exploring after our hearts and after our eyes. That is the intent of the tzitzis. So it seems that the tzitzis are somewhat of a response to the sin of the spies. Here they went into Israel and they explored. Now they were supposed to explore, but they explored the wrong way. Their exploration clearly was tainted by their hearts and by their eyes. And the tzitzis are meant to blunt that temptation. Not just the temptation of the eyes, but also that of the heart. The Gemara tells us that here we have reference to taiva, to desire, which is exploring after the eyes, but also we have a reference to beliefs that are inappropriate, beliefs in other gods. And that's exploring after the heart. And the tzitzis are meant to keep us connected to Hashem so that we do not explore either of those things. We instead stay connected to Hashem. And therefore the mitzvah is given over here as part of the response to the sin of the spies. We have the mitzvah of tzitzis. The mitzvah concludes that I am Hashem who is taking you out of Egypt. It is a way of remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's a way of remembering the Exodus, is the mitzvah of tzitzis. In fact, the recitation of Shema, part of why we recite Shema is, part of it is, I mean, the Torah says it's a mitzvah to recite Shema both morning and evening, but in addition to that, it's also a mitzvah to remember the Exodus every day. So here, this Pasuk, the last Pasuk here, mentions that I am Hashem, your God, who took you out of the land of Egypt. The Gemara tells us that whenever you see this phrase, I am Hashem, who took you out of the land of Egypt, it implies that there is a subtlety here, and Hashem is saying, just as I discerned between who was a firstborn and who was not, so I was very particular with Makas Bechoros, I was very specific and only killed the firstborn. So too, you need to be careful and be specific over here as well. Every time you see that phrase, it means that there's a potential of confusing two things. And here, that potential, the Gemara talks regularly, whenever it talks about Techeles, it speaks about something called Kala Ilan. Kala Ilan is a dye that is a blue dye, but it is not Techeles. And it's similar to Techeles. Techeles was a very expensive dye. Kala Ilan was very cheap. And there were charlatans who would fake it. They would dye the tzitzis with Kala Ilan and sell it as if it was Techeles. And therefore it says, Ani Hashem Elokechem, I am Hashem, your God, who took you out of Egypt, I discerned between the firstborn who was and who wasn't. I also will be very exacting between those who wear authentic techeles and those who sell or wear, inauthentic, right? Inauthentic techeles, and I will punish those who fake the Techeles. This is part of the reason why it is a very big controversy today about whether to put what is thought to be Techeles in the Tzitzis or not. Of late, over the past number of years, there have been some discoveries made and some scientific progress made, and there is a strong argument that the Techeles has been rediscovered. The Techeles was lost for many years. It was unclear what the Techeles was, and we Jews lost it for many, many years. We didn't have it. It's not that one group had it and one group didn't. No one had it. We didn't have the Techeles for many, many years. And there were attempts to rediscover the Techeles. There were some failed attempts. And now there is a strong argument that we have it again. And Techeles is sold. It is sold. Tzitzis are sold. Talesim are sold with Techeles. And some people purchase them and some people do not. I did visit the Techeles Institute when I was in Israel 2 years ago, and I saw their presentation. It is a very lovely presentation, and they do a very nice job of presenting their findings and why they believe that they have the real Techeles, and there certainly is what to talk about. It is not a foolproof argument. There are holes in the argument, in their arguments as well, and because of the concern of possibly wearing the wrong thing, so therefore it is not embraced by everyone to put on the Techeles. But a lot of people do. There are big gedolim who do put it on. There are big gedolim who do not put it on. So you can go either way on this one, and it really comes down to who your Rebbe is and who your Rav is. That's really what it boils down to, because some do and some do not. The argument to put it on is that no one would be deliberately wearing the wrong thing today. That's what we think it is. So there's no deliberate attempt to wear something that's not the right color, not the right dye. So therefore, it doesn't have the same issue as the Kala Ilan that is mentioned in the Gemara, which is a strong point. Nevertheless, since we did not have it for so many years, talking about centuries that we did not have it, and the evidence is strong but not foolproof, so therefore there are those who don't wear it. So again, you can go either way on this point. It is expensive. That is a point. It is expensive, which is actually more of an indication that it's correct, because we know Techeles was expensive. A very interesting thing that they said, though, in their presentation, which I'll mention to you, is that they do not have, they have not found any Techeles from archaeological digs and things like that. They have found other colors that are mentioned in the Chumash and in Tanakh. They found argaman, for example, which is supposed to be a purple type dye. They found other things, but they have found no Techeles. So it's very difficult. If you don't have anything to go on, it's very difficult to know what it is, and it's a little puzzling why they haven't found any Techeles. You would think it should be something that, if you're finding other things, you should find that too. But they, at least when, as of 2 years ago, they had not found any Techeles. Maybe that has changed since. Now, a little bit of a description of the mitzvah of tzitzis. So as mentioned already, it's only on a four-cornered garment that one puts on tzitzis. If it's a three-cornered garment, there is no requirement of tzitzis. What about a five-cornered garment? So the answer is, a five-cornered garment does get tzitzis on four of the corners. Not on five, but on the four furthest apart corners, it does get tzitzis. It is a little bit difficult to define a corner, because when you have a garment that, sometimes people have garments that it's unclear whether it requires tzitzis or not. So what they say to do is to round the corner. If you round the corner, so then it's not a four-cornered garment anymore. The problem is that what's called rounding, the Mishnah Berurah, the Biur Halacha, has a very long discussion about this, and says it's not really clear how round it has to be in order for it not to be a corner, because we know for it to be called a corner, it doesn't have to be a 90-degree sharp angle. Lo nitna Torah l'malachei ha'sharis. The Torah wasn't given to angels. We're not capable of being so precise that our garment should be really 100% 90-degree angle like that, like where it's a sharp corner like that. So when we round it, how round does it have to be in order for it to lose the distinction as being of being a corner? That's a matter of debate. But there are those who do round corners of certain garments. One of the garments that comes into question is for those men who wear a kapata, those long coats. Some wear it on Shabbos, some wear it whatever it is. So those long coats, because they have a slit in the back, so you end up with four corners. So the question is going to be on those whether they would require tzitzis. That's going to depend on how deep that slit is. Because in order for it to be a real corner, it has to be mostly open. So that means to say that if you have a garment, for argument's sake, let's say it's a 4-foot garment, so the in order for the two corners to have a halach of corners, the cut between the corners is going to have to be 2 feet plus a little bit. It's going to have to be long. It's going to be a long enough cut that it's more than halfway up the garment. So most of these garments are not like that, and therefore they wouldn't be a problem of a 4-cornered garment. But you could get into situations like this. What about a blanket? A blanket you go to sleep with. A blanket has four corners.
You're not wearing it.
Okay, so the Gemara says that it's something which you put over you, if it's a garment that's put over you, it can be. A talus has four corners.
Saying, but a blanket that you wrap around you, if you're putting on
so only men could have that blanket.
No. We'll talk about men and women in a minute. But the thing is like this. We know that tzitzis is a daytime mitzvah. It is not a nighttime mitzvah. It says you should have to see the tzitzis. That teaches us that it's a daytime mitzvah, not a nighttime mitzvah. Now, there's a difference of opinion what that means, daytime or nighttime. Does it mean that tzitzis are only required during the day, not at night? That means that right now, if I would put on a talus, a real talus, I would not be required to put in tzitzis into those corners because it's nighttime. So I don't have to put a tzitzis in. That's one opinion. The other opinion is it means nighttime garments versus daytime garments. If you wear a nighttime garment during the day, it does not require tzitzis. If you wear a daytime garment at night, it does require tzitzis. So that's the question. Does it mean daytime or daytime garments? A blanket is both a nighttime garment and worn at night. So therefore, it has both reasons not to have tzitzis. And as you said, it's not really worn in the classic sense.
The tzitzis is for the wearer to notice.
Well, okay, so that's a good question, is who's supposed to notice it? There is a debate. Okay. We rule, like everything is a debate, we rule, let me take a step back. There is no requirement to wear tzitzis. There's a requirement if you put on a 4-cornered garment that you need to put tzitzis in those corners.
Okay.
But there's no requirement to wear tzitzis. So there is a debate whether if you own a 4-cornered garment but you're not wearing it, does it need tzitzis? It's sitting in your drawer. Does it need tzitzis? So we rule it does not. But that is a debate. I was just showing you, there's a lot of different opinions about how tzitzis works. But we rule it is only when one is wearing the 4-cornered garment that one is required to put tzitzis into those corners. Yes?
So a rectangular scarf requires tzitzis?
If it's big enough. You're right, it would, but there are size issues. It has to be large enough to cover most of the body of an adult male. So that's normally a scarf wouldn't be. There is a discussion about a turban which wraps around and 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 is long enough that in theory you could wrap it around the whole body, perhaps it has enough material that it would require tzitzis. There is a debate about that. I'm not sure how that comes out. Yes?
A while ago, maybe still, there were talis that were relatively thin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those not required?
So that was one of the problems with those talisim, the classic, you know, wearing it over the shoulder kind of thing. One of the problems with that, aside from the fact that they're not wearing it in a way that covers the body, but it is incapable of covering the body. It's too small. So it may not be required to have tzitzis in the first place. Putting in tzitzis into a garment that doesn't require it, it's just pointless, but it's not bad. The problem is making a bracha. The problem is the bracha would be a bracha levatala because it doesn't require tzitzis. So that's why one should have a larger tzitzis. When one wears tzitzis under their clothing, one should make sure that they're long enough that they would cover most of the body. Most of the body means more than 50% of the body could be covered by, the tzitzis. That's what one should do when they have their tzitzis that they wear under their clothing.
If a man is wearing tzitzis and something else he puts on has four corners, does that garment also need tzitzis?
Yes. If a man wears 10 garments all with four corners, then every single one needs tzitzis. That's Rav Pinchas Scheinberg, Zichron of the Racha, was famous for wearing many pairs of tzitzis. So he had tzitzis in every single one. Yeah, he had tzitzis in every single one.
Outdoor garment, like a poncho or something. That
okay, good, good. So theoretically, a poncho would require tzitzis if it's four corners, and most ponchos are four corners. The reason why most of the time ponchos don't require tzitzis is because they're made of plastic. Uh-huh. And the
Mexico,
they would. Those tzitzis are so. Yeah. So let me get to that. So what materials require tzitzis? So not synthetic materials. Natural materials do require tzitzis. And the tzitzis, whatever material the garment is, the tzitzis should be made of wool. The tzitzis themselves should be made of wool. Now, many people make the garment out of wool also. Certainly the tzitzis that are sold, the talasim that are sold are made of wool. The tzitzis that are put under one's clothing, so some of them are made out of wool, some are made out of cotton. The reason people like to use cotton is because it's more lightweight. Wool is hotter, especially in the summertime. It can be difficult to wear that. But but a synthetic material like plastic has no obligation of tzitzis.
And the kids, you know, they sell these sports tzitzis.
Yeah.
It's not really cotton. I don't know what it's made of.
You don't think it's cotton?
No.
It's made of undertone
material.
Some of them have the mesh.
But that mesh, I believe, is cotton.
No, the mesh. I'm talking about like a self-wicking. You know, you've seen this.
Yeah. You have to see what it could be that there's two materials there, one outside, one inside. It could be that they have two, you know, different materials there. I'm not sure how that works.
If it was polyester.
Right, a synthetic material. Well, let me take that back. Let me step back for a minute. It could be that some synthetic materials, the point is it has to be a woven material in order for it to be requirement of tzitzis. It could be a synthetic material would require tzitzis if it is, at least midrabanan, if it is a woven material. But plastic is not a woven material. Leather is not a woven material. So those things which are not a woven material seem not to be required. If I remember correctly, so could be polyester if it's woven would require tzitzis. There was a person once here in Atlanta who got a hold of a Mexican poncho, you know, real Mexican poncho, which she wanted to wear for Purim. So the question was, what about tzitzis? Because it's a four-corner garment. It was a wool garment.
You said she.
Oh, I said she?
So we're going, she doesn't.
No, he. Okay. So the question was, should he put in tzitzis?
The whole idea is to be a reminder.
Yeah.
It seems to me it's getting, the details are taking away from the
Every mitzvah has details, you know, every mitzvah has details. You have to get the details straight before you can deal with the other parts of it. But the reason he was not required to do it is because he had borrowed it. He had borrowed the garment. It wasn't his. He borrowed it from somebody else who was not Jewish. He borrowed it from somebody else. And when one borrows a garment for less than 30 days, one is not required to put tzitzis in. So it was only for Purim, so he did not have to put in tzitzis. But theoretically, if one would buy real. Are they called ponchos? I don't know what they're called. Yeah, you know, with the head, right? Then men one would have to put tzitzis on those garments.
Well, the prohibition is not on wearing it.
It's what's
on,
that?
If you, he could wear it.
Yeah, he could wear it.
He could wear it four corners.
Yeah, borrowed for less than 30 days, he could wear it without tzitzis. Yeah.
And why is this mitzvah for men only?
I'm going to get to it. I'll get to that in a minute. Yeah.
They did something cute a few years ago for boys, or even for men. They had undershirts.
Yeah.
Over the head, but they made four corners.
Right. So the issue with that only is, as I mentioned before, the cut has to be more than halfway up. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't function as well as an undershirt. Because if it's only cut a little bit at the bottom, it's not called four corners.
Yeah.
It has to be cut a bit higher up so that most of the length, more than 50%, is split. So if it is that way, and they do make them that way, then it would require tzitzis, and then that would be right. That's a creative way to do it. Yeah.
Why do some of them have a black line?
That's a good question, right? We find, mm-hmm, interestingly, that the Sephardim seem to have white on white, and the Ashkenazim seem to have black on white. Mm-hmm. And then you have all kinds of other colors and like that. Yeah. I don't know how that developed. I'm not sure how that developed. The black on white seems to be some sort of indication that it's really wool. But I don't know how that developed. The white on white is also wool. So I'm not sure how that came to me. It's a good question. I've wondered about it. There is a reason. I just don't know what it is. Yeah.
How
Sandy has it.
No, it's okay.
I couldn't see. Sorry.
So, are men required to wear it at night?
So, a man is not required to wear tzitzis ever. It's only if he's wearing a four-cornered garment that he has to put in tzitzis. There is a. It is considered laudable for a man to make himself obligated to have the tzitzis. So I'll talk about that in a minute. When I talk about, I'm going to discuss women also. So those two things go together. We'll discuss that in a moment.
So how is it that we lost the Tcheles knowledge?
I assume because of all the exile. Because it's not easy. The Tcheles is found, if they're right, if they have the right mollusk in Eretz Yisrael, they're not prevalent everywhere. You got to be in the right place to get them. So the Jews are being, scattered all over the place, you know.
So we don't know when we had it last confirmed.
It could be we do. I don't know. My brother happens to be a zoologist in Eretz Yisrael, and he did his dissertation on mollusks. So maybe I can ask him exactly how that works.
Did you go to the Tcheles Institute?
No, it wasn't on Tcheles.
Because he wondered about why. We went there.
I also went. I went there also. They do it in front of you. They do the whole thing. You know, it's got this heavy smell and all that. Right, yeah. Right. Yeah.
The Tcheles today found in Israel?
That mollusk is found, it's found in Israel, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that was one of their, one of the criteria was that they, that it be something that is prevalent off the coast of Israel, because they knew it's found there. But it's not found everywhere in the world, so it would make sense that through the exile we lost it. I mean, it just wasn't available. It's also a delicate thing, so, you know, you got to have a way of processing it. If they didn't have it, then they weren't able to do it. The Gemara relates a story that one of the sages of the Gemara was not wearing tzitzis. He wasn't wearing a four-cornered garment that required tzitzis, so he wasn't wearing tzitzis. So the Gemara tells us an angel appeared to him and said to him that you're not wearing the tzitzis. How could you do this? So he said, I'm not required to. You don't have to wear tzitzis. If you're wearing a four-corner garment, you have to put on tzitzis. But if not, not. So the sage said to the malach, they punish, meaning in Shamayim, they punish for not wearing tzitzis. So he said, be'idon rischa, at a time of anger, then a person who doesn't wear tzitzis is vulnerable. What that means is that normally they don't punish. It's not a punishable offense because the person's not wearing tzitzis. But because it's relatively simple to obligate oneself in the mitzvah, so be'idan rischa means at a time when there is a din going on, which we always want to avoid din. We don't want din. We don't want the judgment. We always want mercy. But at a time when, God forbid, there is din, then a person who didn't make the effort to put on the four-cornered garments so that they'll be chayiv in tzitzis, then they're looked at in a negative light. So that's why we obligate ourselves to wear a four-cornered garment and to have tzitzis. Now, the truth is that men who are certainly married men who have a talis that they wear at davening, so that means a man is at least putting on tzitzis and making a bracha once a day. Even if he doesn't have the tzitzis under his garment, but he's at least wearing the talis every day, which is certainly a positive step. It is best if a man obligates himself and has the tzitzis on all the time, and it's because of this gemara. But it is not a requirement, and if a person can't for some reason, sometimes men, when they are sometimes when they're going to do heavy labor or heavy exercise, so they don't want to ruin their tzitzis, so they don't wear the tzitzis at that time, and that's understandable. Personally, when I do yard work, I have an old pair of tzitzis that, you know, I don't mind if they get all messy. That's all right, because they're old anyway. I don't wear them normally, so I put those on when I do the yard work. So that I can still wear the tzitzis even under those circumstances. But there would be reason not to in those cases. Going to sleep at night, most men do not wear tzitzis going to sleep at night, because again, there it's nighttime and they are in their nighttime garments, so they don't wear tzitzis. A man who takes a nap during the day, so then it's no different than if they're awake during the day. It's best that they wear their tzitzis unless they're getting into pajamas. So then they're wearing their nighttime garment. So then, but certainly at night the custom is not to wear tzitzis when one goes to bed. When men are walking around at night, they're wearing their daytime clothing at night, so most of the time they're just still wearing their tzitzis from during the day. So it's still on. If a man was getting dressed at 10 o'clock at night, should he put on his tzitzis? So it's one of those things. There's less of a reason to do it, but I wouldn't say there's no reason to do it. There still is that concept of the putting in the extra effort in order to make oneself obligated in the mitzvah. Yeah.
At camp, some of the boys wear the tzitzis on top of the jerseys, that way the tzitzis won't get sweaty.
Right.
As opposed to, is there any halacha for
that? No, there's no halacha for that. Some people do that.
It's preference.
Yeah, it's preference. And then there's always the little boys that the tzitzis get stuck in the bike pedals and
So if a person didn't wear tzitzis during the day, and at night they put on tzitzis because they just got up or whatever.
Yeah.
Someone's not feeling well. They put it at night. Did they make a bracha?
No, we don't make a bracha on tzitzis at night.
Ever.
Right. We don't make a bracha. That's why when before Kol Nidre, where the custom is men wear their talis at night on Yom Kippur. We wear our talis for Kol Nidre and for Ma'ariv, but we make the bracha on the talis before nightfall, before Shkia, in order to, because after nightfall you can't make a bracha on the talis. Yeah.
Disposing of tzitzis strings.
Yeah, so the tzitzis is not shemis. Shemis is only that which has writing on it, like mezuzah or tefillin or divrei Torah. It has to have writing on it in order for it to be shemis, or those things that come with writing, like tefillin itself. Even the part of the tefillin that doesn't have writing would still go into shemis. But tzitzis does not. However, the custom is that the strings themselves, not the garment, but the strings themselves, the custom is to put them in shemis. It is only a custom. It is not a requirement, but that's the custom. The minhag is to put them in shemis.
Like putting them in a baggie and throwing them away, or not?
You could do that. Since a mitzvah was done with it, so therefore we don't want to treat them in a degraded fashion. But now, the what about women? How come the minhag is that women do not wear tzitzis? So the reason for this is because even men don't really have a reason to wear tzitzis, because our garments aren't like that. Even a man is only doing it in order to make himself obligated. And that's why a man does it. But if it wasn't for that reason, no one would wear tzitzis today, because none of our garments are tzitzis garments. We just don't dress that way. So since the only reason why a man does it is only to obligate himself, and otherwise he wouldn't do it. So the poskim all say, this goes back already many hundreds of years, that the mafarshim all say that if a woman does it, it is mechzi ki yuara. It looks like yuara means gaiva, like arrogance. It looks like she's showing off, because it's something which even a man isn't really obligated to do, and we're only doing it in order to make ourselves obligated because of this Gemara about Idan Rischa, about the time of anger. So therefore, it is inappropriate for a woman to do it, because it looks like she's just trying to do something to make herself look somehow, you know, like look how great I am that I do this mitzvah. It's not a nice thing to do. We mentioned with tefillin that when we learned about tefillin, that the reason why women do not wear tefillin, it's a similar reason, but it's a stronger reason. With tefillin, the one is not allowed to wear tefillin unless they have a guf naki, which means a clean body. Clean body means that their body is clean from anything that has to do with using the bathroom, and which includes gas, and also it means clean thoughts. So it used to be they wore tefillin all day. We do not believe that people today are able to do that. People today are unable to wear their tefillin and have a clean body and clean mind all day. Therefore, really, we wouldn't wear tefillin at all, ever, because it's too risky, it's too dangerous. But men have to wear tefillin because it's a requirement to wear tefillin. Unlike tzitzis, where it's only if you're wearing a four-cornered garment, tefillin a man has to put on at least once a day. So therefore, we wear it during davening because we hope that at least during davening we can manage to have clean bodies and clean minds. So therefore, we wear tefillin during davening, but after davening, we take it off, because we don't trust ourselves. So therefore, a woman who is not required to wear tefillin, for her to take that risk, that's also going beyond what a woman should do. That's why women do not wear tefillin. So women wearing tefillin, wearing tzitzis, it's a similar type of thing. In other words, both those things are things that men, for tefillin, we wouldn't do at all unless we had to, and tzitzis, we don't really have to anyway. It's really only obligating ourselves. So therefore, women don't do those two mitzvahs, even though other mitzvahs, asay, shazman, grama, even though other commandments that are time-bound, a woman could do if she wants to. These two, which are time-bound commandments, a woman should not do. That's the reason for it. The tzitzis, are flimsy. They can easily break, and should they break, they could be rendered pusel. They could be rendered no good. If that happens, then a man can't continue to wear his four-cornered garment, because now it's a garment that doesn't have tzitzis. So it is a little bit confusing and somewhat complex to know all the rules for how much of the string has to break in order for it to be rendered pusel. However, most of the time, I should have brought a talus with me, most of the time, if one string breaks, it's not going to be a problem. One string being broken is not going to be an issue most of the time. There would have to be multiple strings cut or broken in order for it to be an issue. If I can demonstrate over here or not, let's see if I can do this in a way that we can. Okay, so the tzitzis, as you know, has the strings, the stringy part, and it has the knots part. And then it has the part that loops through the garment. If the part that loops through the garment, if one of these would break, it's pusel. This is the most important part, that the part that loops through the garment has to be 100%. There you can't have any strings that are broken. Down here, where you have the long strings, that's the least delicate, meaning it's the most delicate to break, but it's the least rigid in terms of halacha. If one should break, it would be fine. We need more than one would break, then it depends on how it breaks. The knots and the strings, that's kind of in between. It depends where it breaks and how it breaks. Now, there are, the way we do it is we have five sets of knots. One, two, three, four, and five, with the string wrapped around the other ones. One of the strings is wrapped around the other ones, and there is a Kabbalistic amount of times it's supposed to be wrapped, 7 times, 8 times, 11 times, and 13 times. That is a Kabbalah thing, which people say different reasons, but at the end of the day, it's Kabbalah. So we can accept it as that. Really, according to the Torah, all that is necessary is to loop it through the garment and make a double knot. That's it. One set of double knot, one double knot, that's it. No loop, no wrapping around, that's it. That would be kosher tzitzis. But because of the Kabbalah that we have, so we end up having 5 sets of double knots with 4 sets of wrapped around tzitzis in the middle of them. And when you inject tchelis into the mix, so then you get into more issues of how to do it. There are many opinions of how the string of tchelis should be incorporated. Right. So that's in itself a discussion. Besides the question of how many strings should have the tchelis, how to wrap it with the tchelis is another issue altogether. So that's a whole other thing. I don't know if there's a uniform way of doing it today for those who wear tchelis. I personally don't wear tchelis, so I don't know. But if there's a uniform method,
there's not. When I went to the tzitzit store,
yeah.
There's 7 kinds of ways you can knot it for regular, and there's I think 3 or 4 for tchelis.
Right,
so you can't even come to one on that.
And then it's probably then it's you have to multiply them because they probably carry over. So
I was going to ask you, how did they come up with so many opinions if all you needed is a double knot?
Right. It's all Kabbalah. In the Gemara, the Mefarshim on the Gemara have different opinions. Rashi has his and Tosfos has his, and there's all kinds of discussion over there. So, okay. That's great.
So how do you, there is sometimes a bite chick and Simchas Torah like to
I know they do. I know.
Really make something puzzle.
Yeah, well, like they're probably not going to make it puzzle. They're probably not going to make it puzzle. But yeah, it's not. I used to do it as a kid too. Probably not a good idea.
And now my question. This is not a feminist question. I read somewhere that Abraham Elf's daughter wore tefillin.
There is a discussion about. Michal Bas Shol, Shol's daughter, which is one of David's wives. There's a discussion about her wearing tzitzis and her wearing tefillin, both. There is a discussion about that.
Bruria, didn't she?
I don't know if Bruria did or didn't. Bruria learned Torah. I don't know if she...
I thought Rashi's daughter wore.
So that is more a subject of, it's possible, but Michal Bas Shol is in the Gemara that we know. So here, it's not prohibited. That's the point I was making before. It's not a prohibition. It's a question of with the tzitzis that it looks like showing off, and with the tefillin, it's taking a big risk. So the answer to that is that if a woman's on the level of Michal, the daughter of Shol, then we're talking. But most of us, we don't trust ourselves. I mean, it's like a really really pious great woman, perhaps but we don't see the great rabbitsons of the world wearing tzitzis or tefillin. So we're still not going to be holier than they are.
Right. Well, I'll tell you one time, there was a woman who came to show with tefillin.
So they don't know better. Sometimes that happens. Yeah.
If a woman did wear, does her cycle make her unclean to wear?
For tefillin, there would be a problem.
So then people would know when she was Nita,
right,
if she did wear.
Yeah, for tefillin, it would be a problem. For tzitzis, it wouldn't be a problem, but for tefillin, it would be. Right. Now, Just to make sure we get some of the points in over here. The word tzitzis is spelled tzadi yud tzadi saf. However, what the mefarshim say is that it's as if there's a yud missing. If you spell with the extra yud, tzadi yud tzadi yud saf, then tzitzis comes out to be a gematria of 600. Tzadi is 90, yud is 10. That's 100. Tzadi is 90, yud is 10. That's another 100. And tav is 400. So that's 600. So you have 600 is the gematria of the word tzitzis, if you add the yud, plus the five sets of knots, that's 605, plus the eight strings, 613. So that's one of the Ramas and one of the hints that the tzitzis has, and I assume that that is part of the Kabbalistic idea of the five sets of knots. So that that's one of the hints that we have here with tzitzis. The four corners of the tzitzis, Rashi says, corresponds to the four lashonos of Geula, the four languages that Hashem used of redemption, Votseisi, V'itzalti, V'go'alti, V'lokachti, similar to the four cups of wine that we have at the Seder, which are also corresponding to those four. The theme number four, as you know, is a big theme in the Seder. So the four corners correspond to those, to the same four of those four languages of Geula of redemption. And the language of the pasuk of the corners is kanaf, kanaf. Kanaf means corners. Now the word kanaf also means a wing, because the wing is on the corner of the bird. Mm-hmm. So Rashi here says, I mean, he brings it from Moshe Adarshan, that it is a throwback to Vo'esa Eschem al Kanfeini Sharim, which we had in this past week's parasha. I lifted you up on the wings of eagles and I brought you to me. So those wings, kanfei nisharim, same word over here, the kanaf, the corners of the garment with the tzitzis. And Rashi ends off by pointing out that the word, this is a little bit more obscure, but the word techeles, Rashi tells us, that the word for when for God forbid a child dies is called shikul. That's the Hebrew word shin chaf vav lamed is shikul's reference to a death of children, and the Aramaic for that is tichla, which is like techeles, and therefore techeles is a reminder of makas bechoros, of the death of the firstborn. And one more point Rashi makes is that the eight strings represent the 8 days that the Jews left Egypt and then had, they said Shira, they said the Az Yashir, having gotten out of the Yamsuf. The seventh day we went through the Yamsuf, and Rashi says here 8 days. I'm not sure if he's counting from perhaps from the Karban Pesach itself, but he says that it was when they ended up saying Shira, when they sang on the Yam Suf.
The last three words. There's no some say on that. I mean, that's just Emes, right?
Oh, the word Emes. Yeah. The end is Ani Hashem Elokeichem.
Right. That's it.
Yeah, yeah. The reason why, but the bracha starts emes v'yatziv afterwards, or emes v'amuna. The next bracha starts with emes, right? There's a pasuk in Navi, Hashem Elokeichem emes. So the shliach tzibur is supposed to say just those three words, Hashem Elokeichem emes, not other words.
Nobody says on the other hand. Like some say.
What do you mean?
Well, just about everything, there's some say this and some that, say that. But this is just, that's just plain emes. I'm looking for something that just is.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that just
everybody
is.
Everybody says those three words.
Yeah.
Is
there, does Spartan say it that way? Yeah, yeah. Hashem Elokeichem Emes. And in fact, the Shliach Tzibur should not say more than that. I was once in a minyan where the Shliach Tzibur didn't know, and he said, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Emes. The rabbi told him afterwards, you shouldn't say Ani. Out loud, you say Hashem Elokeichem Emes.
The three words.
Yeah, just that. Just those three words.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.